Inside AC is part of Radio Galleria Anticamera, a cultural programming project that encourages critical thinking and debate about architecture. Through radio broadcasts, artist residencies, workshops, and exhibitions, the project explores architecture in its broadest and most holistic sense. With a focus on community and integration, Anticamera seeks to foster dialogue between architectural practices, visual arts, institutions, and society, creating a shared space that promotes experimentation and participation. Inside AC showcases these intersections and provides a new auditory perspective on Anticamera's exhibitions, workshops, or installations.
Firstly, thank you so much. It's something like, is it 3 years since we met?
Yeah.
It's almost exactly 3 years in Bergen when we both were there for the Listening Academy. And so we kind of, Brandon LaBelle, who you spoke to the other day and has just emailed me, is kind of a friend, a guest, a connection to us. And then you brought me to Lisbon?
Yeah, for Angar in residency.
Yeah, which was 2 years ago. It's interesting that there's a nice duration of things. Although sometimes it felt like we were rushing things, there's been a slow burn in this. And I wonder, thinking that we both are interested in time-based media, and we're here in the presence of architecture as well, I'm quite pleased that it's taken so long because I like these long relationships. It's not an exhibition that just, okay, we're going to do it, we do it quickly, and then we get off to another thing. We've been on each other's mind for a long time, and that's really special.
I agree. And I still have this image very clear in my mind when I first met you in Bergen. And from the very first moment, and I tell this story to everyone, really, how you interviewed the sea.
Yeah.
It was so beautiful. And I didn't have a picture of what would be happening when Brandon said, well, it's going to be a performance with sound and it's an interview. An interview, but will there be two people? How is it going to be? And then the interview started. And it was so interesting because everybody was so quiet. And people nowadays, they are always rushing and either speaking or looking at the phone, not paying attention to their environment. But there, you managed to put everyone listening to the questions. And I was like, at some point, what would the sea reply? And it was so beautiful to see that at some point, I felt that everybody was thinking that. What would the sea reply and what would I reply? So it was a really beautiful moment.
This was, as mentioned earlier, the Listening Academy in Bergen. And this interview with C is part of an ongoing artwork of mine, an ongoing project. It's almost 10 years old now, where I interview, for want of another word, objects. And that is the presentation of some sort of interview subject. In this case, it was the North Sea. But it's also been things like
city,
a whole city, or even a very small coin from Rome.
That's what I wanted to invite you for the first time. I was like, Can you make an interview to Lisbon?
Well, the artwork is called A Series of Personal Questions, and these questions are posed to the interview subject, in that case, the North Sea, and coming up in a couple of weeks' time, Lake Geneva, and I've interviewed statues and masks and all sorts of things. And each question is followed by a pause, a silence, where one can focus one's attention or listening, but listening for me is a form of attention, obviously, onto the interview subject, the North Sea, the city of Lyon, or the city of Lisbon, maybe. And in those breaks and those pauses, the audience project themselves and, I suppose, listen to something. And you asked about how would the sea respond. Maybe in a way it's responding by being itself. As opposed to trying to fill the world with information, I'm also curious about how we can be with the unknown or with uncertainty. So instead of interviewing Lisbon, we have, with Pedro, brought a bird here. We brought an echo, or it's a recording of a woodland kingfisher, which is normally found in southern Africa, sub-Saharan southern Africa. And this is a bird that wouldn't be found anywhere else. That's its habitat. And it's singing out of a tree outside Maxisibi, acting as a kind of a lure, trying to bring, well, I say that, bird song is connected to territory maintenance, connected to mating. It's singing out of this tree, and the audience members, some might think a bird is actually there. Some might, if they recognize the bird or recognize that it's not local, they might question that. I suppose that bird is also asking a question. That bird song being a statement of territory or a mating call or something like that, that is looking for a response, but a response doesn't come. Or it comes in the form of a curious audience member, or it comes in the form of an essay, or the poetic response to an artwork. Just like these questions that are posed to objects supposedly are left unanswered, but perhaps there is an answer in a way.
And what I really like about this work is that you always displace the bird to another place where we couldn't find it. And in this case, in Lisbon, I think we had this really happy coincidence of having it in Belém, because Lisbon, well, as well as any European country, is a very colonial country, a very colonial city, where you see from the names of the streets, from names of coffee shops, the brands, it's very colonial. The colonial legacy is very present, but also in terms of the species of the trees. So you can tell that those trees, like the bird, are not from there. They were displaced. And it's very interesting to see that then the bird, it's a bird that is not from here, with trees that are not from there as well. And then in Belém, which is full of monuments and like praising the colonial times, which to me is very odd. Can you praise such a time? But we still have that in Portugal, even though we try, I think there is a lot of people trying to come with the colonial ideas and practices. We are still very colonial country. That's why we still have the Monumento Padrão dos Descobrimentos and others. So I think it's a really happy place. It's not a happy place, but I think it's a very happy coincidence and a good match to have the bird there in this tree posing this sort of question. I don't know if everyone will listen to the bird or will get this dialogue, but I think a few people will. And for me, that's really amazing. And I also think that it's something that is key in your work, is listening, but also posing questions. Even when the question is not there, it's always there. And it's always being posed to the audience. We are always being questioned about something, and then that leads to more questions by the audience as well, which is beautiful. And you have many works with more questions and also about listening as a method.
Thank you. And I think I want to widen or deepen the idea of listening again to this idea of paying attention, because we've got these legacies of colonialism and other kind of traces from terrible pasts that are around us, but sometimes we just don't notice, or we've learned to filter them out in a similar way that some people filter out the birdsong, and they might, in this case, there's a bird that would not or should not be found here singing out of a tree. Will people recognize it? And what will they do if they work it out? Similarly, what will they do when they kind of wake up in front of a statue and think, hang on, what's this doing here? I'm curious about that, about how what we pay attention to in our environment. So to loop architecture in, once again, this is all related to architecture, I'm thinking about a novel by British-American writer, China Mieville, who wrote a book called The City and the City. The City and the City is a kind of detective novel set in a situation where there are two cities on top of each other, and the residents of the one city, of each city, are not allowed to look at the architecture of the people in the other city. And they go about their lives ignoring each other, filtering each other out. And it's almost like an apartheid situation where there's some spaces that some people can use and some spaces that other people can use. And you kind of blur out ones, or you have to try and make do with what you have. I'm curious about this, about the ways our lives are on top of or tangential to each other, but also on top of each other, that we're going about thinking, often thinking that we are the center of things, but there's so many other people and spaces that we are just not aware of. What would it be like if we had to be more attuned to them?
Yeah, that made me think of your work, The Prayer, which is beautiful and also with so many layers and so many narratives, and you can only listen to one at a time, which I think is also paying attention to.
And with prayer, so prayer's multi-channel sound installation, there are 12 speakers placed on a red carpet, and they broadcast recordings of prayer made in the city where the work is exhibited. So if, and I'm just putting this out there, if I had to do Lisbon, for example, which I'd love to, I would come here and I'd record different faiths and expressions of worship from all the religions here. And then the speakers would present almost like playlists of these different recordings. When you enter the space, it's a little bit like entering into some sort of party, all these voices at once, sounding like a big kind of cloud of sound. To listen to an individual recording, you have to get close to one of the individual speakers, often involving kneeling down or genuflecting. So it creates a kind of a choreographic situation when you get close to a speaker, looking a little bit like you are supplicating. And you can listen to that speaker very clearly. However, by listening to that one speaker very clearly, you still hear the others from the other speakers around you. So the one is never taken out of the context of the many. And that was quite important for me, that you could have this zooming in, but still it's in relation to others.
Yeah, which is a bit like also interviewing the city with all of the layers, the sounds are all there. Because when you interviewed Lyon, even though I wasn't there in Lyon, from what I understood, and that's why I was so curious to bring it to Lisbon for different things. One, because I was quite curious to understand how people in Lisbon would react to it, to the questions. And also because knowing your work, I would guess that you would look into our colonial legacies and try to understand what kind of questions would you try to do to the city. And by that, you would also be making cash questions to the audience, to the people from Lisbon. So I think all of these layers are there. And with prayer, which I would love to bring to Lisbon as well, I think it's the same. People don't really know, the Lisboners, how many religions live in the same space. And I think it's one thing is not paying so much attention, but there are more to it. There is more to it. But I would be quite interested in seeing how people pay attention. They focus on one while understanding the context.
I think I'm curious about what in us is lacking that we would need to put up a monument. I made a work in Cape Town. It's a small plaque, and it just says a memorial created not out of physical materials, but out of social actions. Thinking, what are we already memorializing in some way through our habits and our manners and our etiquette and our politics? Or what could our politics create? A memorial that can bring people together or do something, not this physical thing made of marble or bronze or something. I don't think it's simple enough or easy enough to say in some words. But what's been really special is the way what I call art and what we call art has been able to take me out of my comfort zones, to put me into new spaces. So with prayer, I'm going into mosques and synagogues and gurdwaras and witches' covens and being welcomed in and being a guest. And that's been really special, that allowing And having other people to help me has been really an amazing and special thing, to also see how other people work. But with this artwork, A Series of Personal Questions, this idea of posing questions that we don't get an immediate or a understandable answer to, I hope that that can help me live more with uncertainty. That's something that's always been difficult, but I think it's something that we need to do. The fascist mind wants certainty. It wants a name on everything. It wants, doesn't like ambiguity. And I think that's what the world is. And I'm hoping that this work might help me practice that. I think sometimes it depends on the object and the question. Some of them can be quite direct, and others, I suppose, are more open. And some are there to stir, not force a reaction, but maybe to stir and bring a reaction up to the surface in some way.
And how do you choose your objects or subjects?
I have not worked that out yet, but without sounding too new age, I feel a certain resonance with them. And I feel that there's some sort of connection and I want to speak to them. I'm not sure what that's about, but that's kind of where I've been for the time being. Like prayer and like There's No Place Called Home, which brought us together, A Series of Personal Questions is something that feels lifelong. It keeps me interested. Each time I do it, I start from the beginning and work it out.
Sometimes the objects find you. It's not like you are searching for an object to pose questions. Sometimes you see something and then you get curious about it. Because something that I feel at all times in your work is that you are honestly, genuinely very curious. So the questions, they are not programmed or set just to please a goal, to thinking about the goal or how the project will look like to me. Truly looks like you are super curious and you are making up the answers somehow and you really want to pose the questions to the object or subject.
I'm curious about the answers. I'm trying to ask questions that I'd like to know the answers to. Yeah. And I'm also aware that these answers will change because the object changes. The world changes around it.
Do you make questions to the same object two times?
I've done a kind of a revisit of one. And that was 5 liters of Nigerian crude oil. I revisited that. And when I started the project, the oil price was at a certain level. And then later on, the oil price had changed so much that I needed to adjust some of the questions to it.
There is this durational aspect and how objects and things change all the time. So I would be curious to see if you make the same questions to like coin,
yes,
or...
I think to loop back when you're saying that the spaces or house building doesn't speak, I mean, I suppose from my perspective, it does in a way, and not only sonically. And I suppose this is where sound studies are so interesting to me, but I don't want to limit things just to sound or to only work in the metaphor of sound. Because I think when I interview an object, people say, does it respond? Well, maybe just its presence is a response, or there's a vibration that's a response. Or another different reading of this work, which I'm absolutely open to, is me posing a question in a human language to an object might appear completely farcical. It might show how odd it is, this person speaking to a rock or something like that. But I think that's also quite an interesting reading. When I mentioned about ambiguity earlier, I'm interested in ambiguity. I mean, the word, or even the word ambivalence, ambivalent, means power in more than one direction. That sounds like a great thing. And I've grown up being told, well, don't be ambivalent. And so I'm interested where an artwork can have multiple meanings and can be interpreted by people in different ways. I've got my own versions of those interpretations, but I don't want to lock them in such a way that I set up a border control that you can only interpret my artwork in a funny way. But I think that'd be ridiculous. The world is changing and people are changing. And I think that these artworks are also changing as a result of that.